This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Just hours ago, in Boston federal court, Judge George O'Toole sentenced Tarek Mahana, a 29-year-old Sudbury man, to 17 and a half years in prison.
Mahana was convicted of terrorism-related charges in December for, among other things, translating Al-Qaeda documents, posting them online, and lying to federal investigators. Prosecutors said before that he had traveled to Yemen to seek terrorism training so that he could plan attacks against U.S. forces in Iraq.
They had asked for a sentence of at least 25 years, but Mahana's defense team argued that his crimes ultimately hurt no one. WBUR's David Boeri has been following the case all along and was at federal court today in South Boston. He's with us now. Hello, David.
Hi, Anthony.
So it sounds like a dramatic day in the courtroom that included a fiery and defiant speech from Tarek Mahana before his sentencing. Tell us about that.
Well, the first surprise, and there was a big surprise, is the defense attorney say, we have one of the jurors is here, would like to speak to you now in court before you sentence. So suddenly, the surprise is out. What's this about? The judge immediately snipped that in the bud and said, no, it's inappropriate. I'm not going to hear it. We can take it up later on. Then the much anticipated speech, or plea by Tarek Mahana, in which we expected him to ask, as he had in a written letter to the judge, for some leniency or to present his case to the judge before sentencing. And what took place was a dramatic 20-minute monologue. He did not miss a beat, no notes, there was not a pause. He was on point, and he started talking about that what he was because of America. He said, it's because of America that I am who I am. Now, that started out in seemingly a winning mode. He talked about collecting comic books when he was 6 years old, about Batman, about learning about the oppressors of the oppressed, the story of Native Americans, of Japanese internment. He read Uncle Tom's Cabin. And it sounded as if he was making a pitch, but somewhere along the line, he took a hard turn.
And really, sort of unrepentant hard turn.
Now, the context of this, Anthony, and the reason this is important is because the prosecutor had told the judge he is reinventing himself, that Mahana is trying to reinvent himself now as a martyr that he was unable to do before. He wants to be a martyr. He's charismatic, Your Honor, and he wants to be a martyr. So, When Mahana took the hard turn, he started talking about the oppression of Muslims, and he talked about American oppression and violations of children, women and children, the war in Iraq. He went on. He made a plausible point, whether you agree with him or not. He said, you know, when the Mujahideen were fighting foreign invaders, as Muslims are taught, and it was Ronald Reagan calling them freedom fighters, it was a different time. Now it's Americans, and they are invading a foreign country. Twenty minutes into it, he ended. The judge would then say, well, you've shown me something. You've shown me absolute defiance. You've shown me your inability, your unwillingness to accept responsibility. You've shown me your charisma here. And arguably, what Mahana had done made it much easier for the judge to sentence him higher than he might ordinarily have done, and we get 17 years, 6 months.
17 and a half, 17 years, 6 months. Prosecutors had asked for 25. How did Judge O'Toole explain the sentence he handed down?
Well, often you hear the sentences, Anthony, and you figure they're going to split the difference, which would have been about 15 in this case. He said that there were signs that this was a very serious young man, and he took note of that, and he had no criminal record as well. He took note of that. But he, in the end, the government, yes, they wanted 25, and they wanted supervision for life when he got out. You know, he came down to 17 years extra, and it was because of that lack of responsibility. Mm-hmm. 17 years, 15 years, it did not go well with that room, and it was stunning. At the end of the room, at the end of the session, the courtroom broke into applause and cheering for him as he left.
Well, Tarek Mahana's family has been very present throughout this process. Give us a sense of what their reaction was to the verdict.
Well, let's go to the father right near Ahmed Mahana, and here's what he had to say outside.
Today, the message that was sent to the court that if you are Muslim, unfortunately, you are treated with different standards.
So that's the father of Tariq Mohammed.
And, you know, it is unsettling when you hear a courtroom break into applause for the defendant as he's led out of the courtroom afterwards. It is troubling, but that's going to be a problem for the U.S. attorney and the government. But there is that sense amongst those people in that room that this is a different standard of justice.
Mm. And speaking of that, the prosecution, give us a sense of what they had to say, in particular U.S. Attorney Carmen Ortiz, who brought this case.
Well, let's go to her words as she opened her press conference.
In this case, thanks to the hard work of the investigators, the prosecutors, and the jury, a potential threat was identified, it was investigated, and eliminated.
So what we have here, and this is a case unlike almost any other terrorism case we have seen so far, is we have someone being charged with conspiring to kill an American overseas, namely in Iraq, a country which he's never gone to, by going to seek training in Yemen, training that he never receives at a camp that he never goes to, and then coming back to the States, the prosecution argued, he put his best talents to work on a keyboard waging electronic jihad. And that's where we get to material support, which indicates the lengthening reach of federal laws and prosecutions. They are getting somebody that is a potential threat, a latent threat. The defense argues here he never went operational in any way. There's no evidence he took orders from al-Qaeda. In fact, they're saying that what he translated, you could find on your own. But to the government, he was making jihad and those documents available to people, not only in English, but to other languages. And so that he was giving material support. And that's the crux of the controversy, which is going to go to an appeals court, of course.
All right. Very good. WBUR's David Boeri reporting on the verdict in the Tariq Mohammed trial. A federal judge gave the Sudbury man a 17 and a half year prison sentence. David Boeri, thanks very much.
You're welcome.